Min campus alihor. Miai Karsten Schwede. Kom għal ħar program fit-tieni sensiela ta' minn Campus għalieħor għal fuq Campus FM. Għamilna serje oħra wara l-ewwel sensiela t-tieni sensiela li niltaqgħu ma' nies professjonisti minn oqsma differenti ħafna drabi id-dinja tal-edukazzjoni għolja, ta' studji soċjali, studji umanistiċi, tad-dinja tal-kultura, tal-arti, tal-performattività. U anke ta' politiċi illi immissu ma' dawn l-oqsma differenti. Mhux dejjem stretti fid-dinja tal-campus, mhux biss dak tal-Università ta' Malta m'anki ħafna oħrajn minn madwar l-Ewropa, postijiet oħra minn madwar id-dinja wkoll, fej segwejna l-karriri ta' nies illi ħafna drabi vjaġġaw, bidlu forsi l-affiljazzjonijiet tagħhom. Ma' universitajt differenti ġew mistiedna forsi jaħdmu fuq proġetti u għalhekk kienu flessibbli anki f'dan it-tfittix fir-riċerka fl-immanaġġar ta' proġetti illi b'xi mod fl-aħħar mill-aħħar daru madwar id-dinja tal-universitajiet ta ħanajtek dak li jaqgħad kollox flimkien. F'dan l-aħħar programm tat-tieni sensiela li però tissokta permess tat-tielet sensiela u aktar mistiedlin li ħan niltaqgħu magħhom mill-iskeda illi jmiss. Għandna personaġġ partikolari ftit speċjali ħatmu bħal xulxin, imma f'dan il-każ il-mistieden Talal Al-Muhanna li huwa ta' nazzjonalità tal-Kuwait, però rabta kbira anke fin-naħa tal-familja u anki minħabba kif ħad isimgħu fej studja, fej kiber personalment u anke professjonalment fid-dinja tal-arti performattiva u għoddim anki fil-film, misħafna wkoll ma' l-Istati Uniti u anki ma' r-Renju Unit. Pero ħan isimgħu wkoll li l-karriera tiegħu ġelitu terra modijiet oħra wkoll anki l-barra minn dawn il-postijiet anki ġewwa l-Asja. Fil-qosor għaliex ħafna ħajdulna il-mistieden tagħna Talal Al-Muhanna direttament hu kien permess tal-klim kif ukoll ta' siltiet interessanti ħafna li xuħut minnhom jew żifen għalihom jew anki produċa huwa stess fil-qasam tal-film, studja u baqa' jistudja u jibqa' jistudja u jibqa' jaħdem ħafna anki f'kollaborazzjonijiet ma' studenti u ma' riċerkaturi differenti. Fosthom insemmu Leeds Metropolitan University fej studja l-film. Fej studja wkoll New School University ġewwa l-Istati Uniti propju fuq film wkoll u qabel ma kien daħal fid-dinja iktar tal-film kien studja u prattika anke bħala żeffien professjonali North Carolina School of the Arts College Division u anki kif semmejtilkom qabel ir-Renju Unit Royal Academy of Dance, l-Amherst Ballet School u anki il-London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. Mill-linja professjonali kif għattilkom kemm fil-panajtek b'bażi fil-Kuwait għaliex apparti li huwa bbażi fil-Kuwait dejjem idur unkurs jiġi Malta kważi diġà anke aħna nħejju għal dal-programm għaliex ħames darbiet tiġi f'dan l-aħħar snin fej sab kollaborazzjonijiet ammiela fil-qasam kreattiv u kulturali ġewwa l-Kuwait u senior producer fil-Sheikh Jaber Al-Ahmad Cultural Center u anki film producer fil-kumpanija li hija dik li waqqa fuq stess Linked Productions. Fuq il-CV tiegħu li tistgħu issibu anki online u anki fil-medja soċjali, inħeġġiġkom issegwu anki l-links il-ħolqiet li wieħed isib għall-produzzjonijiet tiegħu recordings tal-audio jew viżwali, inkluż kollaborazzjonijiet ma' xi entitajiet u artisti Maltin li jistgħu jkunu interessanti u li fil-fatt ħansemmu tul il-programm. Hemm għandu wkoll xi xogħol ippubblikat f'pubblikazzjonijiet tal-Emirati Arab Uniti, tal-Kuwait u anki fej preżenta u distribwixxa xogħol kemm pereżempju festivals l-Italja, il-Greċja u Franza li jaqdu ħafna jħarsu ħafna lej rabtiet li forsi ċertu drabi jħarbulna għax aħna anki f'Malta tant viċin dinijiet differenti kulturali li ju jiprova jiffoka fuqhom u joħroġhom iktar b'saħħithom. Akkompanjament tajb ħafna għal dan il-programm palma kien tul din is-sensiela u anki dik ta' qabilha il-mużika tal-proġett Medinea li qedtina dawn il-ħsejjes sbieħ mediterrani illi iġeluna naqdu il-biċċi differenti tal-esperjenzi differenti tal-mistednin tagħna. So we're back from my early introduction in Maltese, wherein I introduce my guest, as you've heard. And today I feel I have a special guest, also because of the circumstance of how this came along. Talal Al-Muhanna. Hi, Talal.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for being with me live, for me, live in the studio, because obviously this is recorded. But it's whereas usually my guests are online, being connected through whatever university campus they work at or research center or other projects base they're running, it's nice to be face to face. So
absolutely.
thank you for this. It's funny, I guess, how this came about, because since this is program is very sort of conversational as well, apart from looking at the career paths and the projects of my guests on the show on Min Campus Alihor. But we met a few weeks ago. We're recording this towards the end of 2021, when there was the MuseX exhibition going on, exhibition plus conference plus seminar plus workshops at the University of Malta campus in Valletta, coordinated and led by Dr. Sandro De Bono, together with Carmel Borch and the Faculty of Education. And we sort of knew each other before through social media. I believe it was LinkedIn. And you tell me, look, I'm here, I'm following this, and I see you're moderating a session. I said, oh yes, oh that's we never met physically, but it'd be great to do so. And we met. We had a coffee, Valletta, as people do. And you've been here for a bit. And then you come to Malta quite a bit, from Kuwait or wherever you'll be around the world. And we're taking this opportunity to come together really. And I said, so shall we sort of do this program? And you kindly accepted. Talal, I guess maybe the first, questions, because it's not a long, program, and there's a lot just to be said, even going through sort of your CV and your project, there's lots one could talk about. But in preparing for this program, we tried to focus and say, okay, let's look a little bit at the different areas in your career, in your development. I think possibly the first entry point would be sort of trying to take things step by step, chronologically. I know that there's sort of the musical aspect, the film aspect, just the theatrical aspect, but there's always creativity and people and connectivity. So right. My first question, I think, would be sort of where does it start from? What are the first, I won't say memories, but what are the first steps in this field?
Right. So I was born in Kuwait. And I grew up there till I was 10 years old. My dad is from Kuwait and my mother's from the United States. And we moved to the United States when I was about 11. And at that time I started taking acting and dance lessons along with my sister. And somehow one thing led to another, and I ended up going to an arts academy.
Okay. Where was this in the States?
We moved from Kuwait, which is a desert, of course, to Pennsylvania, which is sort of rolling green hills. So it was really the polar opposite.
Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite.
And it was fascinating. Although I had attended the American school in Kuwait as a kid, it was still a kind of culture shock a little bit, you know, because things are just different in different parts of the world. And I remember kids in the class, they would ask me things like, oh, do you have TVs in Kuwait and stuff like that?
Yeah,
and I said, well, yes, actually.
Little did they know.
Probably bigger than yours.
Yes, yes. And I can imagine today, if one travels to Kuwait or other places in the Middle East, one expects, if there's the expo in Dubai, there's lots of things happening. But back in the day, it might have been more of a mystery.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, we weren't so connected then, so people wouldn't have known or been exposed too much, you know, from that region. So, you know, I definitely felt a little different.
Yeah.
And after 3 years in the States, I auditioned for a ballet school in the United Kingdom, and I got accepted and ended up there for about 4 years for my sort of teenage and high school years. And after completing my studies there and my, let's say, my artistic studies as well, so dancing and acting and whatnot, I went back to the States and entered college at North Carolina in Winston-Salem in the degree program for dance, actually. So, you know, I can't say that my dad was very excited about it.
What did he think of it?
You know, my dad was a geologist, so he worked in the oil industry in Kuwait, which is pretty common, probably.
Yes, makes sense.
For Kuwaitis. And, you know, though I was a good student, you know, I studied hard and I, you know, won a few academic excellence awards and whatnot, but somehow, you know, once I got into that creative scene, it sort of just, you know, kept hold of me somehow.
And
it was not something that I think I had ever thought I would do as a youngster. But, yeah, sort of once you get into it, you just sort of keep falling further and further into it. And
it didn't let go, and you enjoyed it, and you did well. So one thing led to another. And good thing your dad, I imagine, might have been puzzled, but supported. your career path at that point.
Yeah, you know, he never stopped my sister and I from doing the things that we really wanted to do. So I really appreciate that, you know, in our relationship, you know, that always remained the case. But I can say that many years later, when I came, you know, into working in film and TV, you know, he was much more pleased. He thought it was much more like a real job.
He could sort of see that going somewhere. And possibly even the financial side adding up, I guess. Yes. That's a concern, which obviously...
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when I speak with my daughter, who's 11 now, about sort of her love also of drama and theater and all that, I'm a bit consoled that she already has figured out that she might need a day job, and that might not be the only thing she does. So once you went through this sort of early training experience and performances, and we'll be coming to that also because we've got our first musical break very much linked to that. You did pursue that for a bit, and you had performances and...
Yeah, look, I ended up, after leaving North Carolina School of the Arts, I joined a dance theater company in North Carolina, and, you know, we did the good old bus and truck tour across the United States, you know, all the way to California and back. It was exciting and different, but it was quite hard also, that kind of touring lifestyle. And
how old are you at the time?
I was probably 18 when I
so
started
really,
doing
really
that.
Stuff.
Yeah,
lots of energy and enthusiasm, but also taking its toll on...
Yeah, you know, because you're sort of... in a bus 8 hours a day, you have to kind of, you know, sort out dinner and check into your hotel and then maybe go to the theater and do some rehearsals. And so it was quite tiring, even at that age, I would say, you know, you sort of get quite exhausted in a sense. But it did, let's say, expose me to a lot of opportunities for performing and in a lot of different stages and spaces around the country. So that was a great learning experience, you know.
And all the sort of diversity of what the United States performing world could offer.
Yeah.
So we're talking here around 80s, 90s, a particular sort of moment in time.
Yeah, it was the late 80s that I was doing that kind of thing. And after a couple of years with that touring troupe, I decided that I would go on to sort of, I don't want to say bigger and better things because the work was very good where I was at, but I think I wanted a bit more stability and a bit less moving around. And I auditioned for a quite big ballet company called Cleveland Ballet and ended up there for a bit. And it was, you know, again, it was a very different kind of experience because there were about 40 dancers in the company compared to the, let's say, less than 20 in the last company. A lot of pressure for a young person, I would say, you know, I mean, you know, it's a bit like being an athlete. You get a lot of demand on your, body. And, you know, you sort of have to struggle with injuries and kind of learn how to cope with performance while being injured and all this kind of thing. So I think that's sometimes underestimated, the amount of stress that you can sort of experience as a performer, you know, whether it's an actor or a dancer or a singer or, you know, your body is your instrument.
You mentioned even the sports dimension. And this week, during a lecture with some students here at university, we were speaking with a person, Lara Jules, actor, director, person, however, in a very Maltese way, does also lots of backstage and sort of front of stage, backstage, all together, wearing many hats. And she mentioned this to the student, saying, so you are exactly the same, where's your own instrument? You're your own resource.
Yeah.
So somehow you have to think, maybe sometimes in terms of sprinting, auditioning and working, but you need to take care of your physical and mental capacities, because it's all you've got, and you've got to sort of work with that for a long time ahead. Talal, we're already more than 10 minutes into our chat, and I know that today we're making sort of a special condition on the show, which is having three pieces of music rather than only two, and all three are really interesting, so I don't want to give up on them. The first one, which I'd ask you to help me introduce, is also related to this particular moment in time with ballet and performance. So before we move to sort of the next phase, can you tell us something about it and why particularly?
I chose Pulcinella from Igor Stravinsky as the first piece of music, partly because I'm very fond of the music and of the ballet. It was choreographed by a fellow named Roy Tobias, who used to work with New York City Ballet, but I got to know Roy as an artistic director when I joined the Universal Ballet in South Korea. And that was the stint that followed on from Cleveland Ballet, in fact. So I was kind of jumping all over the globe at a certain point, working in different companies in different places. And I often got the part of the jester or the joker or the clown or the harlequin or the Pierrot, you know, that kind of thing. It was a ongoing feature of my dance career. I don't know, maybe I was kind of impish and naughty, I'm not really sure. But I really enjoyed those kinds of roles. And that ballet that we performed with Universal Ballet in South Korea also went on tour to Japan. So I got to perform it in Japan on, I think, two different occasions. We went touring in Japan for a month each time. We went twice, actually, for a month each time. And, you know, that was an amazing experience. You know, I was still quite young at the time. I had never been to the Far East before. And I can say that it's the first place that I've lived where I really felt like an alien, you know, really like a foreigner, actually. Anyhow, so this is it.
Pulcinella. The first of the three tracks we'll be listening today with my guest on Minkampus Ali Hortalal Al-Mohanna. Very interesting story. We're trying to have to give a few highlights during this short chat today, because there's various phases to it. And in a way, it is consonant with other people on the show, and that's the idea behind these conversations, that somehow our listeners, students, young students, young at heart, and people at different crossroads, maybe of professional choices, but even for plain sort of inspiration and even entertainment, can listen to and maybe relate a little bit to the fact that rarely is a career path straight and, right, and sort of laid down with a red carpet leading to whatever goals you, right, you think you are going to aim for at a younger
very
age.
Very zigzag sometimes.
Yes, yes. I've had people on the show sort of saying it's more a bit like the yellow brick road in Baum's The Wizard of Oz than anything else.
Without the shiny red shoes, maybe.
Maybe sometimes, no, they pop up somewhere, and they might lead you home, the proverbial home again. And there's without wanting to jump the gun, a bit of that coming up in the second music tune we'll be talking about and listening to as well. But moving on, you've had this phase, which again took you different places, U.S. and then Asia, and you kept professionally performing and varying even roles and companies and collaborations. However, sort of time did not stand still, and you also sort of moved on in many different ways. So would you say sort of something then changed the way things kept developing, or maybe even the way you looked at things, and you start sort of looking at, I remember a few minutes ago you mentioned this thing of stability, mm-hmm, at one point, so if you went down from the bus to be a bit more stable on a longer period.
Yeah, but I working as a performer, I mean, it's often anything but, to be honest, and after having performed in the States and then South Korea, I ended up going back to the States, worked in New York for a company there for some years. And then I headed to Germany, where I danced in three different theaters in Germany, in Mannheim and Freiburg and Frankfurt. And it was while I was in Frankfurt, working as a performer, that I began organizing and curating programs involving other artists. I always enjoyed sort of, you know, putting things together in an original fashion, let's say. And I was working with some very talented people and, you know, a lot of dancers who like to choreograph and make their own work, but weren't necessarily finding the opportunities to show that work. So I thought, okay, well, you know, I can organize some things and I can put some things together and we can go out and do gigs here and there and whatnot. So I started doing that for a year or two, and eventually the director of the company in Frankfurt, William Forsyth, said, you know, seems like you really like doing this producing stuff. Why don't you do it for me? Why don't you do it for my company? I'm starting some, you know, big new projects, and I could use somebody like you. And I thought, well, okay, why not? You know, I was sort of getting on in years, which for a dancer is being in your early to mid-30s, let's say, okay? And I thought, okay, why not?
You know, somehow a marker was sort of coming down, telling you.
The curtain was full.
Yes.
So I got into producing dance and theater and music and art installations and all kinds of things. And the more I did it, the more I started actually using film and video as part of that process. And it began with sort of doing documentary interviews with artists who were coming to Frankfurt and working with us there. And bit by bit, I thought, oh, that's also interesting. You know, so I've been producing for a couple of years, but the idea of working with film and video was very intriguing, and I reached another crossroads where I had to decide whether I would continue with the company or maybe branch out and try something new. And horror of horrors, you know, I quit my job, my well-paying job, and decided to go back to school and study film and television, and ended up in the UK once again at Leeds Metropolitan University, where I did an undergraduate and postgraduate degree in film and moving image production, which I completed probably circa 2009 or 10, something like that. And sort of opened a whole new chapter of things.
It's interesting because I wouldn't say maybe seamless, but at least the way you're narrating it, it's really a case of sort of saying, take a left, take a right, go straight, take a left, and then somehow this, I'm imagining it as you're talking, like a city, like a map of a city, expanding. And it's sort of all the time growing, sort of. Some it's all connected. But I guess, like, possibly our listeners can relate to this. You wouldn't know from where you stand now what the next few turns will take you. So it takes a bit of, a lot of courage, because there is a bit of maybe not a complete jump in the dark, but quitting your job, giving up maybe even on the social networks that once built, having sort of had that arc develop, and then say, okay, we're going to have loop the loop here and take off in another direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think things are scarier if you're not committed to what you're doing. I could put it like that. I think if you're, I can be quite intense. So, you know, if I'm super interested in something and I want to figure out how it works or how it's done, you know, I sort of forget all else and do kind of crazy things, let's say, or, you know, take bold moves and move countries and, you know, quit jobs and start new things. And I think that, sense of curiosity and passion is very important, and always has been for me. And it's the kind of thing which drives me forward and allows me to take actually a lot of risks, in my work and my career. So, yes, often things are not planned. You know, I never knew I was going to be a stage performer. It wasn't something I dreamt about as a kid. Quite the opposite. I thought I would be a marine biologist. Jacques Cousteau was my hero, you know. And then Jaws came out, and that sort of wiped that
dream. Oh, that's interesting. Recently I heard this talk by a quite famous local science communicator, Anthony. He sort of uses that word and name and plays on it,
right,
to promote his perspectives on science. Mm-hmm. And to talk about Jaws, even the people from the Shark Lab in Malta do this. It just was a recent Science in the City in Valletta, which I visited with my daughter after the lockdown.
Okay.
And they said, I hear this quite a bit actually, how Jaws, 1974, I believe, Spielberg, sort of did it for sharks.
Eradicated many marine biologists' careers in the making, but also was bad for sharks, I think.
Yes, yes. But the way you're describing it is sort of out of that, other things bloomed and blossomed.
Yeah.
So this is really, really interesting, actually. Yeah. I wonder whether the film connection comes in at all, though, because there's that power, which is very different from live performance, from theater, from dance.
Yeah, very.
But possibly on a mass level, on a mass communication level, then sort of film takes it to another level. Although, having said that, as we'll see a bit later in today's interview on Min Campus Alijo here on Campus FM, where my guest is Talal Al-Muhanna, you don't sort of engage with the big blockbuster Hollywood films,
really.
But rather another type of production. So, sorry for that detour, but what you said there, that sort of, you take risks, which become more manageable, almost more calculable, because you're committed to what you're doing. That really struck me. Because you really don't go out on a limb then, because you're grounded in what you're doing.
I think a lot of that comes from my early dance training, to be quite honest, because you have to be super disciplined. You have to show up on time. You have to be really ready to go. And you're going on stage in front of thousands of people sometimes. So, you know, you can be quite freaked out by that if you're not centered and very focused in a way. And I think that ability to have discipline and focus as the channel for all of that curiosity is the thing which helped me sort of take bold decisions or make big moves in a way, you know, or changes in my life, let's say. But you're right, the Hollywood blockbuster thing is not the direction I chose to go in, quite the opposite. I like to feel very connected to the people that I work with, and in situations that are not overblown somehow. And I think sometimes on those very, very big projects, at least when you're starting out, you know, it's hard to sort of wrap your head around all of that. So in a way, I probably started small.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a way to kind of settle myself and get used to a new industry and a new way of working. But I can also say that I, you know, since then I've gone on to, you know, shoot a feature film in Iraq, of all places. And, you know, those are projects involving, you know, hundreds of people now. So, you know, I went from very small projects to begin with as a filmmaker to very big projects, and I can't say that I prefer one over the other. It's just really about the quality of experience.
Mm-hmm. And you've also mentioned this thing right now, of sort of being centered and grounded in yourself.
Yeah.
But that sort of somehow allows you, what's the word? So this image again is coming to mind of like an organism, you know, that can grow and then grow smaller again.
Yeah.
Because somehow there's you yourself as your own resource, as your own instrument, as you said before. But then you're working with people and closely.
Right.
So if it's dance, if it's theater, if it's on stage or behind the scenes, somehow I imagine you transposed or changed, adapted that to not having the live audience in front of you, which can relate directly to what's happening on stage. It could be thousands of people, as you said.
Yeah.
But keeping in mind that there will be an audience
That
is following that. So it's still a community, although it's a different kind of community.
Indeed. I mean, you know, the difference between filmmaking and theater making is that in theater making, you spend a lot of time with your actors and your creative team, for an extended period. You know, you usually have to rehearse for quite a while. It could be, you know, 1, 2, or 3 months. And then you go into stage rehearsals, and then you do the show. And so the whole creative process is very active and interactive and lively and vibrant. And film, I often feel like it's the opposite. You know, you sit at a computer for many hours a day working on budgets and scripts, and maybe you do some, you know, Skype calls, and the process is very much solitary sometimes. But then when you get to the film shoot and the hundreds of people suddenly show up, it's over very fast, you know, in 25 days or 30 days or 40 days maximum.
Very intense.
And very intense, and you don't sleep at all, and, you know, get quite wiped out by the end of it all. So the experiences are very different in those fields. And I like both, and if I do too much of one, I miss the other, and vice versa.
Fair enough. The exhilaration that comes out of one experience is sort of not fully the same or compensated as another.
Yeah.
So again, you shift sort of a bit like, well, I don't want to use too much of an orientalizing image, but giving our conversations of shifting sands and dunes that come and go.
Well, I'm shifting sands in Kuwait, as the desert, so fair enough.
Talal, I guess it's time to listen to the second track you've chosen for us on Min Campus Alihor today, my guest being Talal Al-Muhanna, which again relates to this theme and also the idea of sort of seeking home, relating to homes, but almost in the sense of an impossibility, an impossible journey. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit what we'll be listening to and why we're going to listen to it?
Yes, so the selection that I've chosen for the second piece is from a film. It's from my first professional film that I produced, and it was made with an Egyptian filmmaker, Iman Kamel, who was actually based in Germany, and I'll get on to a bit of that later. But it was the first project that, you know, I had to use all of my knowledge from my studies in film and TV to kind of make happen in the real world somehow. So it was a very special project in that sense. And the documentary was about a Bedouin social entrepreneur, a woman named Selima, who lived in the central Sinai desert, and how she had created a economic project for the women of her tribe. Now, it was a very difficult project for the filmmaker to get into, because the Bedouin are they like to keep to themselves, and they're not easy to accept outsiders. And so it took her quite some time, even though she was a woman, but she was a sort of cosmopolitan woman from Cairo, you know, to sort of get into that group and kind of allow them to, for her to film with them, essentially.
Somehow accept her, build the trust needed, and loosen a little bit their connections.
Yeah. Took about 5 years.
That's quite some time.
To get in there and to film, and, you know, but she was very diligent and very committed to the project. And so what we have here is a bit of narration from the film with some music and overtone singing, I guess you could call it, from Kiva Simova. And I'm curious to hear what you think.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to it then. Thank you. Okay, that was a little extra from Norman's home.
Yeah.
My guest Talal Al-Mahana on today's In Campus Al-Lahore introduced us, I must say myself, introduced me to this particular project and this sound. I wonder what our listeners will make of it. But to me, sort of, it suggests this sort of the seeking, but somehow almost of the seeking in itself, mm-hmm. the trying to, as you were describing before, opening of doors very, very slowly, very gently.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a thorough process,
yeah.
that it becomes in itself a skill of communication, of contact,
absolutely.
Of building trust.
Yeah.
I wonder, because we're making headway in the program. We've got a little more than 10 minutes left, really.
Okay.
And still one more special track, bonus track almost, to introduce. But with a project like this, so it took years and lots of mm-hmm. building. As you were telling us, what you've done has always taken lots of time and dedication.
Yeah.
We've been looking forward and ahead, and we will again in the last part of this program. But how do you close before moving on? Or is it not really a matter of closure, but more of tying things a bit for a moment? So no knots, but in Maltese we make the distinction between sort of oda, which is the tight knot, and
yeah.
the chof, which is just sort of a ribbon put together. So what is it to move forward? Because one needs to pack a little bit to move forward.
Yeah, it's funny. I always felt that just as things really got going with a certain situation or a certain company, I would then move on. And I think it goes back to that initial drive that I always had to understand how things work.
Mm.
And as soon as I figure it out, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. I get bored quick.
Somehow the challenge is accomplished.
Yeah.
Because you learn how the system works.
I say, oh, it's like that. Okay. I see. Okay, right. What's next?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and then I try to build upon that.
Yes.
You know, so I've always been involved in creativity and culture in one way or another. But I just try to find different ways to work with that, you know, whether it's as a performer or a filmmaker or producer or whatnot. So it's always been sort of revolving around, you know, culture and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, I I can be very bureaucratic, but I don't want to be a bureaucrat, let's say. You know, so I like to put things in order and, you know, organize things. But if it gets too settled and too pat and two sets, it's kind of not that interesting.
Mm. This will defeat the purpose. Again, this thing comes to mind of you sort of learning how to pick a lock, almost. Once you've managed to break the code and pick the lock, then it's fine. You'll move on to the next.
And I have a thing for art forgers, too. I'm very fascinated by you know, the art world and the art market and how that functions and what's going on there. That's sort of my ongoing hobby at the moment.
Mm. Mm. Oh, very good. So we're preempting a bit of my usual last question on this show, which is of what's next for you, and where are your current and maybe even future projects coming. But before we do that, let's speak a little bit about the third track,
mm-hmm.
Which we'll listen to in a moment, which again sort of takes us back into the orbit of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something different in this. Can you tell us something about this?
Sure. About 5 years ago, I made a return to theatrical producing. You know, I had left it for some years while I just made films, let's say. And, you know, that was making films mainly with Arab filmmakers in the Middle East and North Africa, but also in the diaspora, as in my first film with the Berlin-based Egyptian filmmaker. So, again, it wasn't something that I was looking for somehow, but I sort of landed in front of me, and a colleague that I had worked with at Kuwait Film Festival was involved in the cultural center in Kuwait City, and they have, you know, beautiful venues there. I think 6 stages. You know, it's the site of the National Theater, and she'd been working there for a couple of years, and she had a big project coming up, and was looking for a producer to work with, and said, you know, do you want to do this thing? And I said, oh gosh, I, you know, haven't done that for a while. Mm. But it was so tantalizing. It was such a great project that I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. No regrets, sort of. And I say that's only because, you know, it's really ended up being something which I did for the last 5 years, mm-hmm. you know, alongside, you know, the film producing, but it also left me working sometimes, I think 20 hours a day, to be quite honest. It was mad, you know, so I was producing films, producing theatrical shows, not sleeping a lot, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, so,
Yeah, thinking again, that's of one's resources oneself in this yeah. type of work, yeah. even if not performance, yeah. but through production,
yeah.
then one realizes sort of that there's a lack of balance, maybe yeah, there.
For sure. But the rewards were great, you know, and you know, with reference to the last piece of music that we're going to hear, it is very close to my heart. It is music from Black and White, which is a musical play that we produced in Kuwait at the National Theatre in 2018. And it was a story about two lovers in the black and white era of Egyptian cinema. And maybe what's interesting about that particular show for your listeners here in Malta, at least, is that we had a number of Maltese come over to Kuwait to get involved in the show. And that was Dorian Malia, Diane Portelli, and Muvea Dance Company, who, you know, provided the sort of the dance team, the dance company for that musical show.
Very good. Let's listen to this then, because it's at least an audio yeah. feel of this. Guest on the show today gave us three tracks, Talal al-Muhanna, special occasion, also bringing an end to this series, the second series. But I can also already tell listeners that we'll be having a third, taking us through another group of guests, sharing their experiences in terms of career path and different experiences. Today, Talal, we've gone through continents, decades of different performance practices, on stage, behind the scenes, linking live performance arts to also film and video production.
Yes.
And I think the last track we heard from Black and White might at least evoke, if not, I encourage listeners to actually sort of watch something online from this at least. Again, it was really great that you spoke about Dorian and Morville.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
They're really good in this type of, well, you can't really call it multimedia anymore, but it's, so there's this different experience which come together.
Yeah.
But at least from a audio perspective, if you can say that, so there's this real evocation of different periods, times, periods, and practices in this Mediterranean context that you are working on. We're down to the last 5 minutes or so. So I wonder whether sort of now we can look maybe also at this post-pandemic, let's call it that, with hope and with a look, a perspective towards the future. So the current, but also maybe the Italians sometimes call them the dreams in your drawers, in the sense of the furniture drawer. What maybe could you see yourself doing next? I know it's maybe an unfair question, an impossible one, because you tend to sort of be very much in the here and now, focus, as you told us, sort of really commit to what you're doing because it interests you, because you're passionate about it, without maybe planning too far ahead.
Yeah.
But what about maybe people even within your sector and colleagues? Mm-hmm. Where do you see maybe things coming? What does the future show?
Look, for a long time, I've been interested in the idea of artist communities, actually. And I even went on a couple of field trips with organizations that are focused on that, in that field. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm continue to be interested in Malta is because of its sort of geographical position between Europe and the Arab world, because a lot of my projects, they are involving people from both of those regions. And, you know, Malta's sort of like smack dab there in the middle of those two things. And I had the idea that it would be great to bring those worlds together in a place like this, actually. I don't know exactly what that means, but, you know, I've been out to Gozo a couple of times. I think it's a not too remote place. And it has its own vibe, and who knows? Maybe running a kind of a residency program of some kind for Arab world artists, you know, coming to Malta, working on their projects, developing their scripts, maybe collaborating with local artists. I don't know, something along that line, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think even in preparing for this program, we did mention Malta and Gozo as well in the next few years.
Yeah.
On the one hand, so even still or even more struggling with its identity of how it wants even to position itself on international checkerboard.
Right.
Is it a matter of more quality tourism? Is it a matter of more heritage lovers?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a matter of having more bases for creative collaboration?
The last one, I hope.
And I guess you'd be rooting for
for
this last one, even with prospects like Gozo possibly being capital of culture in less than 10 years' time, and various projects and initiatives going on. I guess this is maybe one of the reasons people like yourself sort of get, maybe not pulled, but orbit around places like Malta and Gozo.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things also is that there is a kind of affinity between the languages of the Arab world and the Maltese language. And I think that also would, allow people who come here to work and hang out and, you know, try things to feel a bit more at home and a bit more, comfortable about interacting and discovering things about, you know, others. And
yes, earlier when you mentioned your Asian experiences, so you said that was possibly the first and maybe even only time when you really felt it was a culture which would have needed a lot of time to get more used to. Whereas, yes, with places possibly this part of the world, for people who rotate around it, there's this familiarity, which is not completely like home. And after all, what is, even what is home, right. I might ask.
Right.
But there are sort of elements.
Absolutely.
And you've been coming and going and following the scene and collaborating
for about 5 years
with local artists now.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what will sort of grow in you. It's a bit like sort of a rolling stone, which, however, does gather moss and does gather like an ecology around it.
Inshallah.
So it could be very tantalizing where that could lead. Just one final comment. We've got a minute or so left. Talal, do you see sort of this? I really hope for it, and I guess you do too. This sort of feeling of interconnectedness and people, at least in the creative field, trying to reach out and seek.
Yeah.
Maybe what's a bit different, but also what's a bit familiar at the same time in productions going on.
You know, my company is Linked Productions, and it's called that for a reason, because I really believe in networking and bringing things together and forging links between things that on the surface might not seem at all related, but deep down kind of are in a way. So I'm open, I'm ready, and here I am.
Talal, thank you very much for sharing those experiences, briefly, really sort of skimming on your various experiences in the creative world. But obviously our listeners can not only listen to this program again online, but also look for your productions and your work online. As you said, linking different practices all together.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Nittama li dan il program l-ħar wieħed nittinisensi l-ġobkom ukoll l-intervista ma' Talal al-Muhanna nammetti kienet waħda partikolari ħafna lix l-esperjenzi tiegħu provajna indaħluhom fit-tul ta' dan il-program hemm ħafna informazzjoni fuq Talal online u wkoll ġieli jkun Malta kif smajtu allura naraw anki dal-programm jisservix ukoll ta' żerrija illi idejatu kollaborazzjoni toħra jistaw xieħorġu minna bħalbqija ta' s-sensiliet illi għaddew. Nistedinkom tinaqdu miegħi fl-iskeda l-ġdida għal-tielet sensiela minn kampus għal-ieħor fejn nerġgħu niltaqgħu ma' grupp mistednin illi bir-rakkonti tagħhom jieħduna fuq il-vjaġġi u l-esperjenzi tagħhom tul il-karrieri tagħhom. Saħiħ.